Today, I am delighted to be joined by Mandy Maher, who has helped shape the Irish fashion and modelling scene for years. She's the owner of Catwalk Modelling Agency and the platform by MM, two major forces in discovering and developing talent across the country. And this year, she was also voted Stylist of the Year by VIP Magazine. So we're going to dive into how the Irish modelling world has evolved, the changes that she's seen over her career, and the growing conversation around body diversity. Mandy, thank you so much for joining us on iRadio. Group chat. For anyone listening who isn't familiar with your work, can you tell us a little bit about your journey in the Irish modelling industry and what first drew you into this world?
I suppose, God, that's the maddest question ever, Valerie, and I haven't answered it in a very long time. But I always had a huge passion for fashion, and from a very young age, because my own mother worked in the fashion industry, and I would have grown up kind of with probably fashion style and that kind of a background. And when I was a teenager, I had absolutely zero interest in books, and all I ever wanted to be was the world's next top model. But that was never going to be, because I was never tall enough or whatever. But I did join an agency in Limerick, and I modeled for a couple of years freelancing. And then I moved to Galway, when I was about 19 years old, and I was going out with my then husband, and I literally said to him one night, I said, you know what, there's an opening for a model agency in Galway. And if that's where it really transpired from, that's how the agency, 29 years opened this year with Catwalk Model Agency, and I never looked back from then.
You've been such a crucial part of the Irish fashion scene for so many years, to be fair. Like, how would you describe the changes that you've seen during that time? I suppose from that time when you were in Galway, seeing that there was a job opening, like, to now.
Yeah, there has been a huge change. There's no doubt about it. Over the years, changes and not changes, if that makes sense, Valerie. The industry itself, I suppose, some things stay stagnant and they're similar, but just have probably come with a little bit more of a modern twist, I suppose. But I would certainly say probably the biggest change in the industry would have been really when COVID hit, because things have never been the same since then, really. How we work, how models work, and the amount of work that's actually out there in the Irish market in particular has changed hugely.
And I know as well that young people in particular, but across the industry, it seems to be people are very tuned into the issues surrounding representation in modelling. Do you think that the Irish modelling agencies and the brands here are doing enough to represent the different types of bodies and backgrounds and identities that we have here?
I actually do, Valerie, because even like when you mentioned it, we were going to be chatting, and you sit back and you actually think of it. Like, I know for me, myself, and I'm talking about me, and I know there's other agencies definitely very similar. Like our agency, okay, we're based in Galway and we're based in Dublin, so we've two very different markets. And there is no doubt sometimes what would work down the country in comparison to what would work in the city are different. But in saying that, I sit back and I look at the clients I work with, and I know we always try and make everything very relatable, because ultimately our job is to sell. So for example, when we're doing a fashion show, our job is that we represent that business to the best of our ability in regard to a boutique when we're showcasing their clothes at a fashion show, for argument's sake. And I mean, like, at the end of the day, as I just say to all the models, remember your clothes hangers. So it's you that's basically selling to a live audience watching the show, and that we need to make it relatable. So when, as we call it, when Mary is sitting in the front row and looking at a gorgeous model on a runway that could be 5'11", really tall, long legs, very slim, of a size 8, and they're looking and thinking, that's gorgeous on that girl, but I couldn't see me in it. So I'm always very, very conscious that our models are varied, that we've all different ages of models, and we've all different sizes, for that reason alone, that it's made relatable.
Has that been a shift in what the client is looking for nowadays as well? I mean, are they asking for that in terms of looks and sizes and things like that, because it is so much more like relatable and real?
I definitely think so, Valerie. I can definitely say where the difference would be, for example, if we were doing a regular fashion show, for me myself, and I know there's other agencies similar, we would always make sure that you have every size range of models. So we would have models, as I said, from size 8 right up to size 18, always at every fashion show, including a variety of ages. So I could have some girls that could be literally 18 years old, but equally I'd have models right up into their late 60s and even into their early 70s that could be part of that fashion show, because I think it's vital that we are inclusive and that you have a variety of models from different nationalities as well, which is now equally important as well. So we're catering for everybody. But definitely I would say then the flip side on that would be, you know, when you do the likes of a very, very high-end designer fashion show, a lot of the designers are still zoning in on your typical international look of a model, which is your 5'10", 5'11" model, and that they're probably between a size 6 or size 8 maximum.
I know that kind of in connection to that slightly, that view that still is out there to a certain extent, Lizzo, the singer and artist, she was raising some concerns recently about plus size women becoming less visible in fashion and in entertainment as well. Is this something that you've noticed in modelling, I mean, internationally, across the board?
I would definitely say internationally. I know they're about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Valerie, they started, like I'd say, for example, on the fashion weeks in the likes of Milan, Paris, London, they were New York, they were bringing in kind of like plus size models. But it for some reason, they never continued with it. And they are the people that are dominating the market. They're still using the typical stereotype of what we see as an international model. So I would say from that side of it, that has gone back to where it was all along. So she is right on that department. But there's certainly work for everybody is the one thing I will say, because people have to look, in particular with an Irish market, the average size Irish woman is not a size 8. They're definitely between a 14, 16, is 12, 14, 16 would be your average sizes.
Do you think that social media and the rise of it in recent years with modelling has helped or hurt the diversity in modelling as time has gone on?
I think in ways people have got way more diverse. I think this is now that we're becoming more acceptable of all sizes, to be honest with you. I can't see any huge change on that. I know, as I said, from my own business, that even with clients, they're still looking for a variety of models, which is brilliant. And even when we're recruiting, I recruit about twice a year. I never look for all models that are going to be just one stereotype of a model. We're sitting back thinking, okay, would this particular boutique book this particular model because they're more relatable? They're thinking about what's relatable to their customers, and that's what I'm thinking of when I'm giving them the models as well for an event.
Do you think that there's still pressure on models to meet a certain body type right now? I know there's a lot of talk about Ozempic and things like that in the news, but in general, do you think that that is still a factor, that people still want to be what we've referred to as the stereotype earlier on, you know, the 5'10" size 6 or size 8 model?
Yes, I would say yes. And to that, certainly some models would be under pressure, I suppose. But like, even I brought up earlier on about, for example, the likes of COVID, our industry overall has changed hugely since COVID, Valerie. It's definitely not the same as what it used to be. The amount of fashion shows that were one time are definitely not happening anymore. So things have changed a lot. And I think this is where the industry is, from a point of view, instead of your regular old fashioned, I suppose, fashion shows that used to happen once upon a time, it's now more ladies' lunches or evening dinners, and you're doing the fashion as part of that. That's what we find our business has changed ultimately to. But then, like, if the likes of, as you brought up about Ozempic and stuff like that, how healthy is it? What's it actually doing to your body? I think people need to be so careful. That's, you know, if you want to lose weight, do it the natural way of eating healthy and exercising is all I would say, if that's the way people feel.
How do you think that the industry across the board can make people see a broader range of bodies and identities represented in fashion? What can they do to actually keep that sustainable change in there?
I think really it's just a matter of the industry getting together, and that's for everybody, including myself, everybody getting together and saying, right, this is the way it needs to go. But of course, it'll always be dominated by the international market. I do believe that. The international market will always dominate what happens.
So it's them that possibly has to take, you know, they're the ones that really need to take an initiative on it.
Yeah, because like Valerie, they were getting a huge backlash one time. People were going on, you see models, and God bless you, wonder did they eat for the month when you were looking at them. And even like, you know, there was no curves, no nothing. They looked gaunt, and then they got a backlash for that. And then they started bringing in some designers, started introducing the plus or size models. But then they just seem to have gone back to the old way for some reason. Why? I don't know. Because I know even for myself, if a model is actually too thin, I can actually tell you they actually won't get work. That is the truth, unless it's a very, very high-end designer show. On the general run of the scheme of things in the Irish market, they will struggle to get work, for sure, unless they're actually modelling abroad internationally.
If there is a young person listening to you this evening who might be interested in getting into modelling in some capacity, but possibly feels like they don't fit the traditional mould, what would your message be to them?
I would say to them, don't give up. If this is their dream and it's something they want, knock on every single door. And that's number one. There are certain criteria you are going to look at as an agent, and even including myself. Height is important. However, we do also represent models. I have actually two models that are only 5'3". And even though, so they're my petite size models, which would often be regulars with myself and Ireland AM. And actually, we only did a fashion slot recently on 5 foot models because they really struggle to get clothing. And even myself as a stylist as well, trying to get clothing for them, I never realised the market was actually so difficult, and to find clothes to fit 5 foot people. So is there an opening for 5 foot models, 5'1", 5'2"? Yes, to a certain extent, but I do know, even in regard to doing fashion shows and that, generally speaking, even ourselves, we would look for models to be that little bit taller.
I always find it interesting when I'm with some of my friends who would be like around the 5 foot, maybe 5'2", because I'm like 5'8". And I feel okay. And you know, someone, whenever you're buying clothes, they'll be like, I have to roll up all my jeans. None of them fit me. And then I'll be like, I am on the other spectrum where like, I actually can't wear pants because they are never long enough, ever.
Okay.
So it's so funny to see how different people's bodies can be just based on height.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that there is a need for both in the modelling
industry.
Yeah,
like, and there is a need. Like that fashion slot that we did about 3 weeks ago, actually what we did is we opened up to the viewers. So the viewers actually came on board and modelled live on TV. We had the best morning ever. It was gas crack. And it was lovely for them. But the reaction even that came in for that is that people are saying you're giving people like that are 5 foot or smaller at home some sort of a sense of purpose. It's amazing how people just felt, God's people are actually seeing us. And actually, that's the one thing even I would say with social media, with the likes of influencers and that as well, Valerie, is that people are now following people because they're relatable. I think this whole thing of following somebody that's non-relatable is gone. I know even myself, people I follow are definitely people I could say, God, that could be nice on me or whatever. So you're kind of like, so you have your people that are at the 5 foots on and very successful influencers, or you have your people that are plus size and they're now showcasing and not afraid to show their bodies, which rightly so.
Well, Mandy, I've really appreciated this chat with you on iRadio's group chat. I feel like we've got so much of an insight into the modelling agency, and best of luck for the rest of the year. Have you got any big plans for 2026?
Big plans for 2026, I do, and I would say stay tuned, and hopefully I'll be back on iRadio to be able to give it a shout-out as well.
Well, Mandy Maher, owner of Catwalk Modelling Agency and the platform by MM as well, thank you for joining us on iRadio's group chat, and we will chat to you again in 2026.
Thanks so much, Valerie. Thank you.